Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY Community Public Radio. I'm Bob Cohen, your host this evening. Tonight we'll be talking about some books, two in particular, with our guest Alex Olien, novelist, short story writer, professor of literature in the English department at Lafayette College. Her two most recently published volumes just this past summer, Signs and Wonders, a collection of short stories published by Vintage Contemporaries, and the novel Inside, published by Knopf. Welcome to WDIY once again, Alex.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, good. Now we have both mics on, okay. And we're ready to go. You were here, well, maybe 5-6 years ago after the publication of your first novel.
Yeah, that's right. I think you interviewed me back then, and here we are again.
That's wonderful. How did it happen that both of these volumes were published at the same time? Was that something that the marketing people decided was a good idea?
Yeah, it was pretty much my editor's idea. I had been working on the novel for a long time, and every time I got stuck or I needed to take a break from it, I'd write a short story, and then I would go back to the novel. So through this procrastination technique, by the time I was finished with my novel, I wound up with a stack of short stories. So I had them both finished at the same time, and my editor thought, well, if we put these two books out at the same time, maybe it'll get a little bit more attention than staggering them.
The collection of short stories, and there are 16 in this volume, Signs and Wonders. Question I have, I know that they were published, most if not all of them, in some little magazines, and
yes,
probably read by whoever reads those little
yeah,
magazines.
Whoever
right?
It is, it's a mystery to us all.
Okay. And are those, is this a comprehensive collection of the stories that have appeared, let's say, since 2005?
Yeah, pretty much. There's probably a few things that I wrote that didn't turn out very well that I kept out of the book, but these are definitely most of the stories that I've written since my last book came out in 2006. Yeah.
I have a question how you decided or whether some thought went into the sequencing of these stories. I read through them read through them rather quickly once and then decided to sort of saunter through them a second time. Mm-hmm. And I had my own sense that there was a sequence, the way you would if you were listening to an album. Mm-hmm. And saying, oh, okay, well, this is good that this song comes after this one.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a little bit about sequence. I mean, for me, the biggest thing that I did was to try and put the strongest stories as bookends. So for me, I felt that the first story, which is also the title story, Signs and Wonders, that was a story I was really pleased with, and I thought it seemed like a good introduction to my work. It had some humor in it and a little bit of quirkiness to it. So I put that at the beginning. And then there was a story that I liked that ended on an interesting kind of questioning note, and so I put that one at the end because I thought it was a nice way to kind of send the book off into the world. And then for the stories in between, I mostly think about variety. You know, if there are two stories that seem too similar, then I don't want them to be right next to each other. I want the reader to kind of be diverted or to enjoy a real sense of difference and variation as they go through the book. So that's mostly what I think about, is changing it up so it feels always interesting and new from one story to the next.
Yeah, I felt that variety too. I think toward the end, I thought they were stranger, particularly one about a cruise and kind of ditzy niece and her mm-hmm. flamboyant aunt taking her on a cruise to kind of get away from it all.
Yeah, that's a story about a very unhappy, recently divorced woman whose aunt tries to take her mind off of her troubles by taking her to the Galapagos, and needless to say, it does not entirely work. But, you know, to me, the story is as a form, it really allows for a lot of experimentation, or as you put it, weirdness. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you could do in maybe 15 to 20 pages that would be extremely difficult to carry off for an entire novel, and mm-hmm. somebody wouldn't want to read it. So to me, writing stories is really playful that way. It's really fun.
And I think the nice thing, if I can make the analogy to vaudeville, the whole notion of vaudeville was, you paid your money, you went in, and you lost yourself for, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And there were all these acts. And each one, it was just about a 10-minute act. And then another sign went up, and it was another. So the whole shtick about vaudeville was, if you don't like this one, another one will be along pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And hopefully that's true of the stories, too. They really are very different in tone and mood. Some of them are comic. Some of them are sadder. There's a ghost story in there. There's sort of a murder mystery. There's a real range.
Let's talk about the mystery,
mm-hmm.
The one that takes place. I think it's the one called The Stepmother.
The Stepmother Story.
The
yeah.
Stepmother Story.
Mm-hmm.
Takes place in Edinburgh. The stepmother is with her two stepchildren
mm-hmm.
and her new husband. And they're
right.
in a strange and gothic city of Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And then things go awry.
Right. Yeah, one of the children disappears, and they can't find him anywhere. So what starts out as a fun, if slightly awkward, family vacation because she's a brand new stepmother, turns into something really dark and scary and fracturing for the family. I wrote the story because I went to Edinburgh. I had been slated to speak at an academic conference there, and I had made plans to go and also go on a vacation to Scotland with another Lafayette professor. And at the last minute, she had a family emergency, and she wasn't able to go. So I was all by myself for like 5 days in Edinburgh, and I think that contributed to my feeling of it as a sort of like eerie, lonely place. So I wound up putting some of that atmosphere into this story.
And Edinburgh also appears in the novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to make sure all it counts as tax-deductible travel, so I put everywhere I go into something that I write.
And it's a pretty. The novel. We'll talk a little more about the design of it. It's not a an action. To me, it's not an action adventure kind of thing. It's very much about personal relationships and connections,
mm-hmm.
but there's a scene in Edinburgh that definitely is, a physical
mm-hmm.
action that is scary and threatening,
mm-hmm.
and it seems that you've kind of tagged Edinburgh as a place where these things can happen.
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble for this. I think Scotland is beautiful.
I just
want everyone to know that.
Well, let's go back to the short stories again. One that is probably one of my favorites is entitled The Only Child, in which a woman and a woman's long-lost and never-revealed brother shows up. Or has actually made himself known to her parents. And in this short story, which is only 16 pages,
mm-hmm.
You do so much. It manages to spread the narrative to include three couples, Sophie and her two husbands, her own parents, and her now-revealed brother, Philip, and his fiancée, wife, Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
And found it. It's got some humor in it,
mm-hmm.
too, but I found it very touching. And
well, thank you. I think all of my work is really about relationships, as you were saying. I'm really drawn to fiction through character and through the mystery of what goes on inside people's heads and their hearts and the richness of our relationships with other people, whether it's our romantic relationships or our relationships with people in our families. It's so complex, and it takes up so much of our energy and our passion, and it's so interesting to think about. So a lot of what I do in my work is to try and tease out the mystery and complications in those relationships and how much of an effect they have on our lives.
I certainly felt that with the only child, though it started kind of lightly, but it just got deeper. And then it goes, at the end, it goes into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how wonderful it must be to be able to use the two words years later with a comma after it, and then in the final paragraph to sort of bring things together.
Yeah, well, it's a real opportunity that we have as fiction writers, people who write books, that is much harder to pull off in TV or film. All of a sudden there would be makeup and props, and you would have to show what it looks like to live in the future. And in fiction, you can very easily do those flashbacks into the past and somersaults into the future and show, well, this is how this one moment can reverberate in people's lives years on. And those echoes and traces and aftermaths of events in our lives are really interesting to contemplate.
What you just said reminds me of another one of the stories about what I would call a kind of urban tribe of 20-somethings, having rather superficial relationships with one another, living in small quarters and trying to get along with each other and be cool, and and a guy who's sort of part of their group, mm-hmm. you know, who disappears.
Yeah, it's about a certain kind of lifestyle that a lot of people I know and myself have lived, which involves moving to New York in your 20s and living in a teeny tiny apartment and living and working on the fringes of artistic society, you know, the kinds of 20-somethings who work in museums and galleries and book publishing houses and music companies, and they make very little money, but they're in it because they're drawn to something that the big city promises them. And that's something that I lived through in my own life. And
did you work in New York?
I did. I lived in New York, and that story is about, you know, a friend of mine who did wind up kind of disappearing in a way, and it did leave a big hole in my life. And so I wrote the story kind of as a response to that. And, you know, back in my day, because I'm 100,000 years old, you know, you could lose people, right, in a way that I don't know that young people today will ever lose track of each other because they're so connected through social media. But, you know, in the early 90s, if you worked with someone and they moved away, you didn't keep up with their lives. And that was a real loss.
Yeah, and those of us who really grew up without all that technology and are sort of finding that we can, if we wish,
mm-hmm.
With trepidation, reconnect with old boyfriends and girlfriends
right.
and so on, tend not to do it or wait till we read in an alumni magazine an obituary or something like
right.
that and say, oh, I should have gotten in touch with mm-hmm. so-and-so, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, there was a little bit of the urban connection story that reminded me of sort of a Seinfeld group. obviously not as lighthearted, but some of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is some comedy in it. And definitely, as you were saying, that sense of a tribe before people couple off and start their own families. You know, those friends that you make in college or soon thereafter, they really do become so important in the way that you define yourself, your sense of who you are. So they really matter to you in your formative years.
And even now, I mean, reading about the death of somebody I knew as a freshman in college and it had no relationship with afterwards.
Yeah. It still tells you something about yourself. It's so intimately connected to that difficult process of becoming an adult, and it's imprinted on you in a very intense way. Yeah.
It also, I mean, most obviously remind you of time passing.
Right. Yeah, that's
and,
true, too.
And you say, oh, they're calling our class, you know.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that relationships are kind of exploration of relationships and at the center of your approach or concern, form kind of the content of all the things you're writing about. And I just noted in one of the short stories, at the end, you said, I got to find the story, but I think you said, because either I learned that my heart could still move, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's really what the story was about, a sense of grasping for the, not necessarily the object of one's affections or love, but the sense of capability of loving.
Right. Yeah.
And then I read in the on the back on the back of the short story volume that Jim Shepherd, who offered one of the blurbs, said, "Despite everything, our hearts can still move," which
yeah,
I thought
he
was,
stole that from me.
Oh, he did. Right. That's right. He didn't even put it in quotes.
Well, I forgive him. It was a very nice blurb.
Well, let's talk now a little bit about the novel. Very different from your first novel, entitled Inside. I guess you could call it a layered sort of structure. Takes four major characters. Maybe some people could count differently, but linked via a Montreal psychologist named Grace. So
the book is really about helping. It's about what it means to try to reach out and help another person who is in crisis. And both the problems that might ensue from that, but also the richness and excitement. So it follows these four characters as their lives cross over the course of around 10 years. And in each of the storylines, a person comes across someone else who is in crisis, who needs help. And sometimes a person who is a helper character in one storyline will reappear in another storyline at a later moment in time as the person who is in need of help. So there is very much, as you say, a feeling of interconnectedness. I think of the book almost as a feeling of, as a quilt or a braid, you know, in that there are patterns of repetition and reoccurrence that that connect all these different characters.
It goes back and forth in time as well as zigzags in place as well. Well, we're going to talk more about Alex Olien's writing, and specifically Inside, and also about her as a writer and the process of writing after we come back after this message.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem's South Side, presenting Going Green the Wong Way. Created and performed by Christina Wong, this true life adventure takes us from Christina's confrontational sixth grade science project to her wandering years as a missionary of recycling to her true calling as Los Angeles's patron martyr of carbon-free living. November 16th and 17th. For tickets and information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. Our guest this evening is writer, novelist, short story writer Alex Olien. She teaches at Lafayette College in Easton. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Just a little more about the novel Inside. As we said, it's layered. It moves around from... and it's dated as well, 1996. I don't mean dated in a negative sense, but 1996 to about 2006.
That's right, yeah.
And there are scenes in, for example, Rwanda, as well as in Alaska.
Yeah, the book has a number of different locations as these characters' lives traverse the globe. And almost all of the places, with the exception of Rwanda, are places that I myself have lived or worked or traveled. So the book opens in Montreal, which is where I grew up, and there are sections in New York and Los Angeles, Northern Canada, where I traveled, Scotland, as we discussed before. So in some ways, geographically anyway, it's fairly autobiographical. In that sense.
How did you get the material about Rwanda?
Well, the stuff about Rwanda really came through research, through reading, watching documentary films, and listening to radio interviews. It's just one section of the book that addresses the issue of helping through the life story of an international aid worker who is in Rwanda during the genocide. So it's a brief but kind of crucial moment in the book because it's about helping in this kind of very large political sense, in the sense that a lot of the Western aid workers, you know, were not able to help, as neither was the UN forces on the ground during the genocide. So it very briefly takes on that issue.
I do need to let our listeners know that one of the short stories, we'll go back to the short stories, actually is clearly a Lehigh Valley based story, and it was always fun to kind of read about. It's entitled Forks.
Yeah, it's set in Forks Township, and there's a clear reference to Easton, so I am getting around to writing some stuff that is set here at home.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. There's the Memorial to the Civil War Dead in Center City.
Yes, it is very identifiably about the Lehigh Valley.
And in that, and I think I was surprised because this is the second story in the volume. In the second story, I was really surprised that the narrator is a male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to not be confined to just writing, you know, female characters or female narrators. I like to try and stretch myself. I don't have as many characters who are male because it's not as easy an embodiment for me, but I definitely like to try it when I can.
But it actually, once I realized that after a paragraph, I said, wait a minute, okay. Because the initial scene doesn't necessarily, there's nothing that would identify you in gender.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, here you are, Tom.
Right. Yeah, Tom is really your
who
first
is Tom?
Clue.
Where did
that
he, where
it's
he
about
come?
A doctor who works in the Lehigh Valley.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that was neat, too. Well, let me just ask a little bit about your writing style, not writing style, but writing method. How does a story happen?
It happens all kinds of ways. Sometimes it starts with a snippet of overheard conversation or a little bit of gossip or something that I'm reading. There just has to be this little kernel, this little spark, and then I try to think of who these people might be who are involved in this particular situation or saying this strange bit of dialogue, and then I build a story around that. The title story, Signs and Wonders, actually came from a story that my hairdresser told me, so it could come from anywhere.
Okay. So in all of the observing that you do, and obviously that's where your work comes from, it comes from your observations, you're not a fantasist, you know, writing about an alternative world, J.K. Rowling kind of thing, you know, this is reality-based fiction, I think. And how do you rule things out? How do you sift through all of your observations to...
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm just really interested in people. And what I try to do first and foremost is to build someone who seems like a real person on the page. Mm-hmm. And then what pushes the story forward is really the story of that person's life, mistakes that they might make, falling in love that they might do, who the people are around them who matter to them, and wherever they go in their lives and in their hearts, that's where the story goes.
So all of the maybe ancillary things that can come creeping in, you know, they just come from your general experience and reading, I suppose.
Yeah, and, you know, making stuff up. That's what I do.
Well, every once in a while I read, a phrase or something, and I say, oh, yeah, well, she must have studied something about politics here, benevolent dictatorship or something like that. You know, a phrase that...
Yeah. Well, one of my writing teachers in school told me, you put into your work everything that you know about the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. I don't consciously think, oh, well, I have to bring in such and such a thing that I... learned in college or that is part of my reading in the newspaper. But of course, it all winds up dripping onto the page one way or another because it comes from your mind, and so it shows up in the work.
Alex Olien, thank you so much for being with us here on WDIY and Lehigh Valley Art Salon. We wish you well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
As you continue, and we're so lucky to have you right here in the Lehigh Valley, to know about Forks Township and all kinds of things in the Lehigh Valley. Thank you very, very much. Alex Olien's two new publications, Signs and Wonders, a collection of short stories from Vintage Contemporaries, and Inside, novel published by Knopf just this past summer, I believe.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And on the bookshelves at bookstores everywhere. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.